Hello, this is Philip Android with Chuckles. Welcome to episode 8, I think, of $2 Domestics. Is that how counting works? Were we on 7 last time?
That sounds about right. I mean, we're skipping every other week, it seems.
Yeah, we are. Actual week-wise, I don't remember. But numbers-wise, I also don't fully remember, so I don't know actually what I remember.
Are you saying you don't remember what number comes after 7?
No, I'm saying I don't remember what I forgot, as in I don't know if last week was 7 or not, or if last week was 6 and this is 7.
All right, here's a riddle for you then. Okay. There are 30 cows in a field.
All right.
And 28 chickens. How many didn't?
I don't even... They're... Sorry, I'm going to need you to repeat that.
All right, so there were 30... so there were 30 cows in the field and 28 okay. chickens. How many didn't?
I don't even know. My mind is not even grasping onto that.
Go ahead and let that sit in the back of your brain for a while. Okay. Anyway.
Right. I have a riddle. I have a question for you as well.
Oh, no. I'm actually really bad at riddles. I only dish them out.
Why is 6 afraid of 7?
Because 7, 8, 9.
There you go. See, there you go. See, that's it's a softball, but it feels good, right? You just got to hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Well, after you hear that one, mine actually is quite the softball as well. Anyway, so welcome to $2 Domestics.
Now with 100% more riddles.
Welcome to $2 Domestics, where we cover U.S. soccer with no budget at all. So no. That's pretty much it.
And dwindling resources. This was tricky to get on air this time. This is the fourth device that I tried.
Yeah, I think our listeners should probably understand that the reason why we're every other week is because of really just trying to figure out a new way to do this each week. It seems like I don't think we've ever recorded consistently the same way twice.
Well, with the exception of the first couple when you were actually here.
That's true. Yeah.
Once we went. There's a word I'm looking for, but I'm not grasping onto. My mind's just not firing today. I feel like Kansas City playing against San Jose. It's just not, nothing's going.
Well, yeah, actually, we could just start there. Remember how when Kansas City, because we've kind of neglected them on this podcast. Like, we kind of, like, hint at them being good. You know what I mean? And when we talk...
good.
When we talk about fantasy, we're always like, oh yeah, Benny Failhaber.
Always.
But we've never really given them props for how good they actually are. And so when they mounted that comeback and won, and I texted you,
we need to give them more. We need to give them more airtime.
Yeah.
And like, I was all for,
I was like, we need to actually start talking about the Kansas City. They kind of deserve it. And then... and then in typical $2 Domestic fashion, we completely forgot to record last week, and so then Sporting Kansas City lost badly.
Yep. But the great thing about that is that since we didn't record, we don't have to like eat crow this week. Well, I mean, we do because we just admitted to wanting to give, you know. But like, we could have, you know. Been a little bit less losy. I don't know where the sentence is going. I apologize
you're
to
still,
all the listeners.
You're still stuck on the whole cow and chicken thing, aren't you? Like, that's really what it is. I shouldn't have opened this podcast with a joke, because you're seriously, you are struggling so hard right now, and it's because you're probably still thinking about the cow and the chicken.
No, it's actually what I think it is my mind's still thinking in Spanish. So I just finished a 3-week intensive Spanish course that usually is 10 weeks. It's only 3 weeks. I've spent 80% of all waking hours the last 3 weeks thinking and speaking in Spanish, it feels like. So now all of a sudden I'm done and I don't have to, and I can just speak in English, but I've forgotten how to. So now I feel like I need to take a 3-week intensive course on how to speak in English again, because I don't remember how to think in English. And though I wasn't great at it before, I could at least put together a coherent thought.
Well, here's another one. What do you get when you have a brown chicken and a brown cow behind the barn?
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And that, actually, was probably a good description of how Sporting Kansas City was playing before these last couple weeks. Because, I mean, actually, even their game against Columbus wasn't too bad, although they lost 3-2. They were playing pretty sexy before, you know, before they played San Jose. They were rolling. They might actually still have the highest points per game in the league. But after watching them play against San Jose, they played more like what's brown and sticky.
A stick.
Or the morning poo after you drink too much. But either way, I mean, I was gonna, you know. But
no, but isn't that the joke? Isn't that like the anti-joke where it's like?
No, it is. It is. But I was just thinking about how poorly they played. So it's the anti-joke. I lead you up to an anti-joke, and then I take another turn.
What's the what's the podcasting equivalent of a poop emoji?
Poop emoji? Yeah. That joke.
I think it's actually the first 7 minutes of this podcast.
So I think actually the joke is on everyone who's listening right now.
If they still are. If
they're still listening. They're just like, what, really? I tuned into this? Like, I set my iTunes and Stitcher to automatically download this? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know what? Joke's on them, because we actually had, like, the best week ever last week. Did you know that?
Really? Oh, numbers-wise?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't really look at the numbers, but when I logged into Podomatic the next day, like, we were over, like, 100 listens. And I was like, are you kidding me?
I wonder how much that's the other thing, too, is I wonder how much of that is actual active listening, or if those are just the automatic downloads that they set for your podcasting ways, you know? Like, if we convince people one time to, like, add us to their automatic queue and then they never listen to us. Or if this is actual, you know.
You're thinking way too hard about those stats, dude. I'm gonna take those 100 listens and run with it.
Do it.
We were number 3,000 something. Like, that was
overall, or like
overall, man, 3,000 something. Yeah, we were on top of our game. We're kind of a big deal.
This is how we repay you, loyal listeners, by starting it with vague riddles and poop jokes. And maybe that's what you came here for, though. I don't know. Maybe you have all these other, like, high-minded, like, economic podcasts and, like, political podcasts. And you just really want a little bit of escapism, you know? Like, you just want poor analysis and poop jokes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case. We're here for you.
That is what we do here. So, anyway, going back to Kansas City. The reason...
Of course.
Okay, so this was 9 days ago, right? So we're starting 9 days ago. That's where Sporting Kansas City came back to beat Vancouver 4-3. Okay.
Which was insane. That was a great game.
And that was a really fun night in MLS, because also that was the game where Nat Borchers scored in stoppage time as well. So there were two big, like, late wins.
Exciting. Yeah.
Which is always fun. I mean, I don't know. As a Timbers fan, I wish we could win a game without getting to that point. But yeah, regardless, yeah, a win's a win. But the Kansas City game was hilarious and really fun to watch. But the problem that they faced is just crappy scheduling. I mean, they had 5 games in 15 days.
And wow. That's insane, actually. I didn't realize that.
And so when we look at that result the following Wednesday, where it was 5-0 to San Jose, I'm not necessarily surprised.
No, I mean, it's a thick schedule, and you kind of just get caught up. I mean, obviously, so the parallel I was going to make is the Timbers playing really, really well for a number of games and then going down to California and losing 5-0 as well. It's to a different team, obviously, but it was, you know, yeah, the density of schedule. It's just kind of, and the thing is, I mean, their schedule's not exactly getting, well, Colorado is not exactly high hitting. So Sporting Kansas City, I think that's
that was the most polite way of saying that.
Well, the thing is, actually, maybe they're hitting high, though, you know, because they legalized. But the altitude sucks, like, frankly. So that is going to suck. And Colorado's defense is actually great. The rest of their team's just not good. But although, did they won the other day. But it was the Wooden Spoon game, right? It was they were playing against, was it Chicago?
Yeah, they beat Chicago 1-0.
So, you know, them beating Chicago isn't. Anyway, all I'm trying to say.
What are you trying to say, Phil?
That's the real question. Let me tell you how I really feel. They're playing Colorado and then they're playing the Timbers away. Providence Park isn't an easy place to play at, just in general. I mean, it's not a welcoming environment for other teams.
That's what people say, but if you look at the Timbers' home record this year, it's not necessarily.
Yeah, I know.
It's not really a fortress like it used to be.
I like pretending like it is, though. So if I have to keep anything for my own sake, it's this narrative that I've latched on to.
I'm right there with you. Like, I remember back in 2011 where it was like we were undefeated at home because I don't think any team in the league had ever experienced, like, coming to Providence Park. But now, like, you get players that come here and want to be the heel. They want to do well and silence the crowd, and more times than not, they do.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah.
You know, not to say that the Timbers Army stops singing or whatever. Don't tweet me. But, like,
remember it's Chuckles 108.
blah, blah, blah. You never stop singing full 90. But, you know, it does suck the air out of that stadium. And it just does. And you can tell when the crowd's going through the motions and when it's real. And
yeah.
So you definitely get that more times than not now than you did in the past. Because players want to come in and perform well in Portland, and they do.
Yeah.
So, but this, I mean, just as a whole, this league is getting ridiculous.
How so?
So Toronto beat Orlando 5-0, okay?
Yeah. Crazy game.
San Jose beat Sporting Kansas City 5-0, right?
Yep.
Sunday, the Galaxy scored 5-1. Like,
crazy game.
I mean, this is soccer. You know, if you're a good team, you don't usually give up 5 goals. Like, I don't know. That's just really weird.
Recently there have been a lot more. I mean, as is evidenced by what 2 weeks ago was the highest scoring, or maybe a month ago at this point, I forget. A couple of episodes was the highest scoring weekend in MLS history. There's been an influx of attacking talent in the league.
And LA Galaxy scored their 1,000th goal yesterday.
Their 1,000th goal, exactly. So the offense has just really been turning it up in the league. And I wonder if it's, I mean, because defense in the league has never been its biggest, its biggest talent.
You don't really get designated players on the defensive end unless you're the Timbers.
Yeah, or, I mean, technically still the Galaxy, I think, because I think Omar Gonzalez is still technically a designated player unless he was the one that they bought down with targeted allocation money.
I would have to double-check that, but I think I think he would be your poster boy for targeted allocation, even more so than Adi, you know?
With Gio, exactly. So he was the one. So, like, then at that point, is he still a designated player? I mean, officially he's not, but he's still, I don't know, this is a Schrodinger's cat situation, I don't
know. Like, he's designated in the sense that he's exceptional, like, he's not under this, like, I mean, he's getting money in addition, or beyond the salary cap, right? Like with the
Yes, I guess, but I guess not, we should approach it as the money they're paying defenders instead of the title of designated player.
Yeah, like, I mean, does it matter? Like,
no, it doesn't. I just took down this little side road.
It's like MLS will make up a new rule in a week to give someone else more money, and while, like, the working class players who've been in that league since, you know, their whole careers are still making crap wages. So I don't know, like...
player is something to be. Now I have that song stuck in my head, so I just had to throw in the little reference.
Wait, although, which song? I missed it. You cut out on your...
Working Class Hero. I said Working Class Player. I changed it a little bit.
You know, and they're working class making, like, 100,000. So, like, I mean...
It's all relative.
Everything's relative.
Yeah, although, I mean, so while we're on the subject, though, of good defenses and paying money, so the only, really, one of the only examples of teams giving defenders a lot of money, the Denvers. So Ridgey making 1.3, I think, like that. Who has the most shutouts in the league this year? The Timbers. So there's a little bit of parallel there, I guess. Mainly, I just wanted to remind myself that the Timbers have a good defensive record because, like I said, I'm holding on to just anything that makes me happy.
Yeah, just wait till they go LA away in October.
And surprise everyone with Alvis Powell hat trick.
Keep telling yourself that.
Dude, I'm going to. It's going to be great. But like getting back to the point we started talking about that you brought up, the league is kind of ridiculous, right? And I just wonder if the offense of this league finally kind of took that step to the point where the defense of the league can't keep up. Because for the longest time, like I said, the defense in this league has never been great. But the offensive talent that the league's been able to bring in has never been enough that it just blows by, right? But you start looking at all these new amazing attackers, and all of a sudden the scores start rocketing up, and you wonder if it just finally got a step beyond the defenders and what needs to happen, or if the league is just going to turn into a league where you get those scores week in, week out. I mean, although, to be fair, looking at the results this weekend, there were a number of 1-0s. But anyway... You're right. It is ridiculous. He ended pathetically. That's all I got. I don't know. I was continuing to look at the results of the schedules.
Yeah, it was a bad week. I mean, like, I don't know. It's a good leak if you like, you know, blowouts. You know, but I don't know.
There were a couple interesting games.
The big one, right? I think it was Taylor Twellman during the broadcast on Sunday, during the highlights for the Real Salt Lake game. And he was like, this team knows how to play. And then he's like, look at how good these guys played. And then you realize they're ninth place in the West. Like, that's unreal. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's the West is insane. The West is absolutely crazy. It's super tight. And there were, it was with Merritt's tweet the other day, just the gap between the East and West is kind of nuts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to, in a couple of years, looking back on this year to see how things have shifted. You know, like if this will be a year where things kind of change, or I don't know. I want to be able to look back on the data and just kind of see what's going on.
One of the areas that I definitely looked at the data this week was somebody was making the argument that MLS is like has great parity. Because, again, this goes back to your kind of ending rant on our last episode. Now that the Euro Leagues are in play, people start looking at promotion and relegation. They look at parity. And one of the things that's, like, the area that, like, MLS just claims to have superiority is that we have parity in our league. And it's not true. Not in the least. Like, sure, DC United can go from being, like, the worst team in the league to being in the supporter shield race in a matter of 2 years. But you can't overlook the fact that in a league that's only been around for 19 years, the LA Galaxy have been in the MLS Cup final 9 times. And on top of that, 5 of them they've won. And DC United, that same DC United team that's actually climbing and dominating and in the Supporter Shield discussion at the moment, they've been in it 5 times, right? And won 4. So the idea that somehow we have parity is really a joke.
It's selective. I mean, I guess there's the Wild West aspect of, it feels like there's week-to-week parity, like we're, at times, any team can beat any other team.
Right, like San Jose can beat Sporting Kansas City 5-0.
Exactly. So there's definitely that. And I feel like there's that more than there is in other leagues. You don't see that as much. I mean, obviously, some things get thrown up like that in the Euro leagues. But a week to week, I mean, it's super surprising, but it's not as surprising as elsewhere. Just to see Colorado, you know, hell, I mean, especially like Colorado put in 4 against someone after Colorado hadn't scored in like a month. And then the next, you know, they went back to kind of sucking. But it's kind of a, every week is up for grabs. But I think you're right in that the longer term, over the course of the season, it's, you get the same suspects. Although, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting. You know, Vancouver is a good example. They've just kind of slowly put a good team together. I wouldn't really ever say before this year that they've really challenged. But they're a scary team this year. And I think hopefully with the rises of teams like Vancouver, maybe Sporting, maybe they can kind of challenge. I hope anyone can challenge LA, frankly, at this point. You know, it's...
Right. And it's one of those things where currently, we were talking about this before we started recording a little bit, in the sense that so many people, even though DC United has been a top team all season, no one is really considering them being the champions at the end. I mean, in terms of the East, people are like super quick to downplay DC United's like standings. And when people picture the end of the year in the championship in the MLS Cup, they see LA Galaxy versus Toronto or LA Galaxy versus New York Red Bulls. They're not giving DC United the respect they deserve.
They don't, and it's interesting because it's, and again, like we were talking about a little bit before, I think it's the way that the teams are going about it. I think DC United is just getting the job done however it needs to. It's not by the super flash. I mean, they don't have Giovinco, right? Like, they have Chris Rolfe, who is fabulous. I actually really enjoy Chris Rolfe, but it's not in the same way. And the closest thing you get to, like, their big-name player, Fabian Espíndola, who is actually, I mean, his numbers in this league are very, very impressive.
And him and Saborío now. And that was those were the two guys that, you know, with a solid back line with Borchers and Olave, that really made RSL who they were. You know, so like, I think you're hitting the point in the sense that they don't have the flashy big name talent in DC United, so they're not getting the headlines. And then people are sitting here saying, oh, well, don't worry. Like, when all is said and done, Giovinco and all these stars are going to take over and the MLS veteran team is going to lose out. Which, you know, I understand their thinking, but this is a good team. DC United is a good team.
Well, and their young core is super impressive. One of the players around the league that I wanted on the Timbers, or, you know, I feel like a lot of teams, if they could have the chance to, like, go out and grab another player from another team and just take them, you know, Perry Kitchen. I feel like, if I don't know what we'd have to give, we probably couldn't give enough to get Perry Kitchen on our team. But he's a young, amazing defensive midfielder core there. Kemp, their right back, has, I think, 6 assists on the season. Like, they just have a lot of young prospects that are just producing. And it's, they've been given the chance to actually produce and play well because they're not having to make way for big-name players. So they actually got the chance to go out there, you know, like they got given that whole last crap season, you know, the season before last, I think, when they were just absolutely awful and they finished last. They got all those seasons out there because they didn't have to make way for big name players. I don't know. It's interesting. I am curious to see where they end up at the end of the season. I think if they can kind of I mean, I wanted to say turn it on, but they're already turning it on, right? Like, they're that far up in the Supporters Shield rankings for a reason. So, and looking at, I mean, points, so Toronto, point-wise, if they're going to catch up, they're, what, 10 points back. New York, closer. They're only 5 points back, but they're still, that's a big gap. So I think, yeah, I think you're right. They're not getting not enough credit.
Yeah, that gap used to be bigger, too. I think it's just recently closing in. But then again, yeah, I will say as we've been very open about, we are blatantly West Coast biased. So, yep. You know, like, I could be wrong when I said that, but it feels like it was significantly larger like a week or two ago, because DC United actually has lost their last two, I believe. So they haven't
been great recently. Yeah,
their form is slipping a bit. Whereas, like, LA is just LA.
Oh, they're turning it on. I mean, Vancouver as well. I mean, Vancouver's only a point back behind LA. Yeah, it's the Red Bulls are another one, though, that they are turning on. The thing is, though, I feel like the Red Bulls are a little bit different than they have been in the past. I mean, I'm trying to remember if we touched on this last time, where they're kind of shifting away from the big names.
Oh, they're way different, because, I mean, the Henry factor just alone is, he was such a contributor, and when he was on the field, it made players like Bradley Wright Phillips better, you know?
Yep.
And when you look at Bradley Wright Phillips, you know, the reason why he misses so many penalty kicks is because no one's passing him the ball at that point in time.
If you could turn every penalty kick into the indirect free kick in the box,
yes.
You know, like when there's a pass back, then Bradley Wright Phillips would never miss, I think.
Exactly. And that's ultimately the problem with the Red Bulls, is that Bradley Wright Phillips can't score unless someone passes him the ball. But in his absence, though, you've had, I don't know, like, there are players on there that are really good.
Phillips is still having a good year. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's you know, it's not maybe up to what it was last year, but,
No, I mean, it's the golden boot race is definitely Giovinco and Kamara. You know, Bradley Wright Phillips really isn't in the cards this year. But, I mean, any team would still love to have Bradley Wright Phillips.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's at 11, so,
yeah.
Which is only one more than Fernando Audi.
I forgot what I was doing. You distracted me a little bit. Keep talking, because we're live, man. We're live.
We're live right now. Like, when you're listening to this later on the pod, we won't be live.
Yeah.
But right now we're live. So it's a different approach. I like that I like the way that they put together that team. But you're right, though. I mean, it's one of those things that I actually do kind of feel like they're. Something about it, just that my gut says that they'll end up finishing ahead of DC. I don't know. I think you're right. I think even being aware of the fact that DC doesn't get enough credit, I still want to not give them enough credit. I don't know. Something about it.
I think, now that I'm thinking about it and looking at it, I think what the things that we mentioned as DC United's key to success and having proven MLS veterans and then hot young talent. Like, that's what's going on with New York Red Bulls right now as well. You know, you got Grella, and then you also got, help me out, McCarty.
Captain Dax, he's fabulous. Former Timber.
Exactly. You're right. Once a Timber, always a Timber.
Once a Timber, always a Timber, even if it's only for 10 minutes.
Yeah. What was that one soccer podcast with all those dudes that are on Twitter? What is that one?
Everyone? I'm going to give a couple more.
You know, that guy and the dude, and they talk about soccer. Anyway, they're all going off about Miazga today.
Miazga? Well, I mean, for good reason. Are you talking about Soccer Morning?
Yeah, one of those. We're really bad at giving people credit for that.
Miazga is fabulous. I'm pretty in a future like of national team conversation. I think he's gonna be solid.
Well, I think that was, I mean, because obviously theirs was pretty hyperbolic in the sense like, is he gonna go on and be one of the biggest names in European football? And I'm just like,
Oh, yeah, I think I remember hearing the conversation.
Like, calm it down, guys. Like, let's make him a big name in MLS first. Like, he's doing good, but, like, don't freak. I mean, serious, guys. Jinx Come on. It. Like, how many times do we have to pull an ado with, like, every player that comes up through America? Like, I don't understand this.
You mean next Pele? Is that what you... In my head, whenever I hear Freddie Adu, I do a find and replace with next Pele.
Right. Or...
So that's what I...
I mean, like, Jozy Altidore's just, you know, he finally proved himself a little bit this weekend. I mean, and we used to say the same thing about him. Like, just let an American player be an American player for, like, I don't know, a hot minute before we start putting these unrealistic expectations on him. Like, I don't know.
Just, I feel, though...
I'm frustrated.
You know, and you know, I think you know what I think it is, though. I think it's the American sense of dominance that we want to be the best in the world with everything, and we're not there for soccer yet. We're not though. Like,
we can't. Like, let's just enjoy being quaint.
Oh no! Like, no, totally. Like that. No, like, as far as logic goes and enjoying it, like, totally. But the mindset is still, you want to have the best players. So like, when any shred of hope pops up, people just they can't help it. They're just like,
validate me, Europe, validate me. It's
like Yedlin's the next Messi, and you know, like it's just they can't help it, and it's kind of
dumb,
hilarious. I don't know. It's when you watch, it's hilarious watching the rise and fall of all of these hype trains. You know, it's one of those things, especially on social media. Like, it's just everyone was so for. I mean, gosh, a couple of years ago, I'm trying to remember all the names of all these players that were getting so much hype. They're going to be the next big thing, and then like 6 months later, you know, like they get a slight injury, they fall out of favor, and then the next thing pops up. It's just a never-ending wave. And it's never metered. It's never any like, oh, you know, he's a good prospect. If he gets time under his belt, he might develop into a solid player. It's no, he's the greatest thing ever. And it's anymore. I just
when people make those comments, it just makes them. It just reveals how like naive and ignorant they are to the actual youth systems of Europe. You know what I'm saying, like. In America, if you are growing up in America, you don't have the opportunities that a player anywhere else in the world has to become a Messi or a Fabregas.
Completely immersed in the game.
We have a fundamentally different youth structure, and then on top of that, you're also competing with the world's best leagues in three other sports. You know what I'm saying? Like, we, and hockey even, big four, like four of the biggest sports leagues in the world are in our country. And if you have a kid that you want to become and turn into a professional athlete, you start grooming them for baseball or football.
Well, hell, I mean,
or like
it's just
basketball.
It's just Steve Nash. You know, so Nash, his brother, you know, so Nash is part owner of the Caps, I think, right? And his brother played for the Caps for a long time. He could have been a pro soccer player and done really well, but he had to sit down and look at the money and decide, you know what? What am I going to make millions on? Basketball. And turns out he was pretty good at basketball, too. But, you know, he had to choose, and that's the decision that he had to make. But I do want to add that that's changing, at least, right? So, like, how many different academies does the Timbers have and other ones around? So I mean, hell, Philly has the live-in high school. I mean, it's not doing great for them just yet, but the idea is great. You know, we have enough. It's starting to get closer in the right direction, but right now, yeah, you're right. It's just not there. Yeah.
It's
Vancouver,
just,
though. Yeah. Vancouver actually is great as well, but different country. So,
Canadians.
All that being said, you know who is the next greatest U.S. player going to be ever? Darlington Nagbe. Because guess who scored with his left foot?
Oh, my goodness. I was going through all these players in my brain, and Darlington Nagbe wasn't one of them. And you know how bad that, like, like, you know how bad that makes me hurt? Like, I am still one of the biggest, like, Darlington Nagbe apologists. Like, when people are sitting there talking about how, why is he even on the field? Why doesn't he produce? I'm still sitting there saying that there are very, like, real, intangible reasons for that guy being on the field. And when you have no offensive attack, like the Timbers have had recently, you need somebody like Nagbe who can run for 40 yards. And, you know, like if that's all you're going to do, he's a good guy to have doing it. So,
oh, I'm right there with you. I'm also a massive, I'm a huge fan of Nagbe. And I think him finally scoring, I mean, I don't know if this was this his first goal ever with his left foot? I don't know if I, because obviously he famously doesn't.
I'm not going to look that up, but
it might. I mean, we need to.
Statman.
Exactly. Hashtag Statman help. It's one of those things. I feel like the conversation has always been, and whether or not this is broader or just in my circle, so I feel like this is a widely accepted conversation, is that if that man ever finds his left foot,
he
does it consistently.
Be in the U.S. if he had a left foot. Like,
yeah, but so I wonder if this is him finding it, and we'll get the next rest of the season. You know, like it's what I just wonder. One, how far once he gets his left foot, if he will be as good of a player as everyone thinks he will be, and then two, how long will the Timbers be able to take advantage of that before he gets whisked away off to Europe? But he did it. He did it, and I liked that, and that's cool.
It was a cute little thing that made us all feel happy inside.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not quite as cute as his daughter getting scared by the crowd roaring when he lifted the log slice. Do you see that video?
Oh, I didn't see that, no.
Oh, it was so cute. So he brought her on the field, and she's kind of like loosely holding on to his leg, and then he lifts the log slice, and the crowd goes insane. And then she immediately, like, goes in close and just grabs Nagby's leg and, like, gets behind his leg because she's terrified of all the noise. And even cuter, on the back, her jersey says number 6, and then the name above it says Daddy instead of Nagbe. It's just, it's the cutest thing, and I don't even, it's so
that
cute.
That has turned into a really cool tradition for Portland, is people don't really realize that just how family-oriented Portland supporter groups really are, you know?
It's intuitive for some people to consider as well, because they think we're these insane, drunk, insane people, right?
Like people see the smoke bombs, and they see the flags, and they have this idea that, like, it's this ultras group, but so many of them are, like, family men and women, and you know, the few times that I've ever painted TIFO in the city of Portland, that people were there with their kids, and, you know, and it's like, it's such a family-oriented culture in Portland, and it's really interesting, and it's cool that the players kind of have caught on to that, and, you know, they bring their kids out onto the field whenever they, you know, celebrate or the end of the game, because that's such a once-in-a-lifetime thing for those kids, and they will always remember that for their whole life, so it's really cool that they do that.
Well, and it's cool, too, because you get to see the other players interacting with it, too. You know, I mean, I remember, I think Shara brought his girls on the field, and one of them started to run away, and, like, Gleason had to sprint across the field to, like, fetch them. You know, like, it adds a more human touch to the players that, you know, we spend so much time analyzing how they play on the field that sometimes it's easy to forget that they're people, right? And we get opportunity every time at the end of the game to see them with their family, to see them with it makes it mean a little bit more. I feel like that's like one of the things that we can point to, like why it's special in Portland. I'm sure you know we're not the only place to do it in the country. It's just, you know, obviously it's, we get to see it every week and it's great. So cute. I feel like we had a train of thought before we got off on a number of tangents that led to tangents.
It's fine. I mean, isn't that our style? We don't have programming notes. We're just two dudes. We're just two friends that just recap soccer for the week, and we happen to record it. Like, what's up?
And people like kind of happen to listen to it.
People listen to it. So let's actually, before the Timbers game started, I was at a local establishment that later gave me food poisoning, And I was there to watch the game because I didn't have time to get up and dedicate the time to get up to the park to watch the game. So I after I got my stuff done, I ran to a local establishment for dinner, and I was watching the game, and it was really weird because it was Portland, you know, but on at before the game started, there was the Seattle Seahawks playing, the Seattle Mariners, and the Seattle Rain. So I was sitting there in this Portland establishment waiting for the game to start, and I'm like surrounded by Seattle games. I was like, if this doesn't typify being like a Portland sports fan, I don't know how to explain it to anyone else. You know, like that is that just epitomizes being a sports fan in Portland.
In the Northwest, right? Like that it's more often than not 90% of the people around you are covered in like Seattle's gear for the Mariners or the Seahawks.
Right? If it's big three,
in Portland.
Yeah, if it's the big three, people just assume that you're a Seattle sports fan. And it's like, no, we're not. Anyway, but I was kind of glad that they had the Seattle Rain game on because I was able to see Kim Little's hat trick.
I actually haven't had a chance to watch that yet. I tried to watch it on my phone and the GIF wouldn't load.
Yeah.
And then I tried the Vine and the Vine didn't work.
Well, in the third one, I mean, it was definitely, like, it was just, I mean, talk about, like, a star among, you know, what's the opposite of a star?
A black hole?
Yes.
That used to be a star, but now it's yeah, I think a black hole.
She just, yeah, she just completely, Deadspin said she made mincemeat of the defenders, like, she took on, like, four or five and ran across the face of goal and then turned it back in and scored her third in the stoppage time. And I'm like, oh, all right. And so Seattle's, what, 4 points clear now in the NWSL?
Seven? I got the Rain at 36 and Chicago at 29. Their goal's four, 35. The next closest is 29. And they're tied for the fewest conceded. At only 18, they're a good team, and I hate admitting that. Really, I mean, it's good. It's good for the broader health of the sport. But yeah, they have a 17 positive 17 goal differential, which, you know, if you look at the Thorns, it's close. It's close at negative one. So tell me how.
Is it possible
that the Thorns make the playoffs?
It isn't really. I mean, like they need. I think they need to win both, and then who's next? Someone has to lose twice. So, yeah. Like
we can.
You're banking on two consecutive wins and two losses, and two losses that are out of your control, right?
In addition to picking up like six goals in goal differential.
So we
would need to win. They would need to lose twice. And then we need to pick up a positive six while they don't gain any more.
I think there's a higher likelihood of me hooking up with Alex Morgan via Ashley Madison than there is of the Portland Thorns getting into the playoffs.
For multiple reasons. One, because, well, I got taken down. Two, you're not married and you have to be married. Yeah, I see what you're saying. There's no chance. Okay.
No, I'm saying there is a chance. There's just too many variables at play to make it unlikely. And one,
yeah.
And going back to Alex Morgan, by golly, that woman missed her penalty kick. Why was she taking it? Number two, why did she take it with her left foot? And number three, how did she miss it on her second chance? Like, I don't know.
Are we talking about, oh, I got a flashback of, wait, why was she taking it? Why was she taking it with her left foot? I thought we were talking about the Women's World Cup with the U.S. That just sounded super familiar, and I was like, wait, what? Does this sound familiar? Oh, just the sadness of a missed penalty. Yeah, I mean, did anyone ask Riley afterwards? Have we bothered to try and seek it out?
I don't know. The Thorn season is one of those things where you're just kind of like, you can't see it, but I just put my hands up in the air and shook them all about, because I'm like, I don't know how this is going to end up, but it it's not good for us.
I hope, at this point, I want a good send-off. I want the final game, the final home game. I want them to at least show... I want it to be a...
Yeah, the last home game is sold out, right? Have we gotten an update on Christine Sinclair yet? Because she had a pretty bad knock in that game.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Man, we should be more prepared than we are. I apologize.
We really should. Well, it's one of those things. No excuses, obviously. But, like I said, I've been consuming nothing but Spanish recently.
Ooh, but speaking of Spanish, did you see that tweet from what David Villa said about New York City?
He needs players to help. He can't be the only one.
Yeah, he can't be doing it all himself.
If Frank Lampard could walk, he'd probably walk over and hit him, but...
I feel bad for Poku, though. I mean, really.
Yeah, that is...
Yeah.
That's brutal, because Poku, exceptional player.
I think Poku's carrying that team, to be honest, Lampard's absence, and then to have a player of David Villa's, you know, stature say that is kind of lame.
It's a little... I feel like...
My response is, Henry did it.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, though, I really feel like those comments were targeted at Lampard and Pirlo, you know? Like, it's... I mean, maybe... it's just one of those things where it's...
Yeah, Pirlo looks terrible on the field. Like, there's nothing about having him on that field that makes me think, like, he was a good choice.
He's got a couple moments of brilliance, right? Like, He has a number of assists at this point, and he's got some really amazing passes from time to time. I just don't think his overall game contributes enough. Not in the way that they need. And you really, pardon me, you got to feel bad for Kreis, because Kreis openly said, when they're talking about their third designated player, he wants a young designated player that can contribute for the long haul. And the type of play... that he was looking for was someone who was younger, who's someone who contributes, someone who can run, someone who can press. And then the Manchester City, Citigroup Financial or whatever, said, no, you're having Pirlo. I mean, there are worse things to be have Pirlo thrust upon you. But, you know, there's the type of play. It's... I don't know. I mean, if Frank gets healthy and gets back to... even how he was, like, half-performing for City last year, like, maybe. But at this point, you got to play Poku. I don't care how much you're paying Frank. Poku's been playing out of his mind. You have to make room for him.
But this point in their season, though, how close we are to the season being over, they know they're not going to win anything. So the competitive aspect's gone. You know what I mean? Like... If I were NYCFC, I would probably be more interested in making sure that Lampard gets on the field than making sure Poku, you know, brings you to a title.
Well, I feel like at this point, though, I mean, so obviously the designated, you know, the Pirlo and Lampard are not spring chickens. I feel like at this point they need, and they won't do this, but they need to hand it over to the youth and see what happens. I mean, because at this point you have to be looking to next year for him. I mean, is it early enough that it's impossible for any, or, you know, is it too early to have it say it's pretty much impossible for someone to make playoffs? No one's officially been eliminated yet, have they?
No.
I mean, it's...
I mean, I think conventional wisdom says that there's some that are pretty much out, but...
The crazy thing is, though, I mean, looking at... So NYCFC is only out of the playoff on goal differential right now.
Yeah, I guess they have, yeah. I mean, I forget that they have the benefit of being above Orlando, Philadelphia, and Chicago.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be honest, yeah, they're not too far out.
It's doable, I guess. It's just it's funny. The situation felt a lot more.
Just got to be in the top 60%.
That's all you need. MLS.
60% is passing. D's get degrees.
And playoffs. No, I listened to an interview with Poku earlier this morning. It was on Extra Time podcast, the one the league office puts out pretty much, that has Andrew Wiebe and the bald man and shouts all the time.
Oh, the sexist guy?
Yeah, Simon Borg. Yeah. Simon Borg. Because Simon Borg and Gas, the other guy on Extra Time Radio, they've been high on the Poku train the whole season. They were one of the earlier ones that I've heard of them being huge proponents of Poku. They've been big fans. Even before he started exploding as much, you know, he's gotten more and more and more and more publicity as he's done better. So I listened to the interview the other day that they did about a week ago. Great, actually. Sounds like a really solid kid. Apparently, Poku had a chance. He trained with the Sounders last season. And so New York actually had to pay the Sounders to acquire the rights for him, which is interesting. Which is one of those things. It's always, you know, the hindsight. Like, how'd they pass up in the same way that we passed up on, what's the name of that kid who was with Minnesota United that recently transferred? You know what I'm talking about?
Khalif Al-Hassan?
Oh, yeah, that guy, the one. The one with all the potential. Oh, that is great.
Oh, jeez. That was a... I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that one. That was a good one.
I was looking for Miguel Ibarra, but no, I think you're right. Your answer is better. Anyway.
Oh, put your hands up. All right. So anyway, we're getting towards the hour mark, so I'm gonna look at the matches for this weekend. There are some in the middle of the week, but nobody cares. Like Chicago versus New York Red Bulls.
They'll be good to pad your fantasy score, but
yeah. I mean, I definitely have New York Red Bulls on my fantasy roster for that purpose. Definitely.
Colorado Houston, I don't think will be that interesting of a game. Although Vancouver Montreal.
Yeah, oh, that's the Canadian Championship.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're a domestic soccer podcast, but I'm saying out of all of the games on Wednesday, Vancouver versus Montreal will probably be worth it to watch. Because they've got that Didier Drogba guy now. I hear he's an up-and-comer. But no, we're heading back into Rivalry Week, presented by...
Is it Heineken? Is it who actually...
No, it's Heineken again.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Rivalry week. This is why I'm actually not in radio, because I have a terrible voice for that kind of crap. Rivalry week. I can't even say that like two times. I can't even say it like back to back. Rivalry week. Like that. Rivalry week.
Yeah. It reminds me of I heard Huckabee. Is that, How am I not myself? Moving on. Great. Watch I Heard Huckabee. It's great. Anyway, Rivalry Week.
We have a rivalry. Petroleum issue.
And what is San Jose versus LA Galaxy going to do about it?
Yeah.
That's the Friday game.
But here's the deal. Usually, I would say watch San Jose get destroyed. And I don't anticipate them winning. I really don't, okay? But with their recent form, if there was ever a time for them to put up a fight against LA Galaxy, it is right now. And I'm really excited to see this go down.
These games have kind of always just been insane. Like, even if... I mean, and I guess I don't have the numbers on who has the overall, like, head-to-head all-time and everything. But I feel like San Jose Galaxy games are just always... ridiculous.
They are. They're fun to watch. Like it's a real California rivalry, and it's really fun to watch. And it's at Ivaeus Stadium, Is that, did I say that right? It's at the airport. So
it's the home of the largest outdoor bar in North America.
So there's going to be a lot of LA Galaxy fans and a lot of San Jose fans, and it's going to be a whole thing, and they're going to have a long bar.
Wonder though, if so, I feel like these games are typically kind of insane. San Jose's never really informed the Galaxy are. I wonder if they're both playing one the last couple weeks. That means it will kind of not be a good game. You know, like maybe just because both teams are actually in form and it looks like it's going to be exciting, if like are jinxing it because we're pointing at this.
Just because I'm looking forward to it, I know that's what happens. Is I look forward to a game and then it ends up sucking. All right, like I know the trend. You don't need to bring it up again, man. I'm just saying this one's gonna be decent and it's gonna be worth watching. All right, that's all I'm saying.
I'll allow it.
All right. And then Saturday you got Columbus destroying New York City FC, probably.
Unlikely. Kamara hat trick, just because.
In terms of the worst match of the week, you got Orlando versus Chicago.
Is that the worst? I'm trying to. I mean, because they had. It's just. Was this the third week in a row that they got a red card?
Oh, Orlando had six different discipline issues on last match. I think it was six. Yeah.
They've had, I don't know how many red cards in a row. They lead the league, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're easily, like, the ugliest team in the league.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think if any other of these ones pop out. FC Dallas versus Real.
That could be fun because, again, Salt Lake City looks like they're getting their swagger back a little bit.
Yeah. And if you get Plata playing well, if FC Dallas clicks and plays like they can, I feel like FC Dallas is very hit or miss. It depends if Mauro Diaz is healthy again. He's pretty much their best player. I mean, there's also Castillo as well. But when Diaz doesn't play the Galaxy, the Dallas, they don't play well. So we'll see if he's healthy and if he plays well. And if RSL plays well, that could be a really good game. Yeah. Then Sunday
is the headline day where you have, I guess these two teams from nowhere, two small market teams, Seattle and Portland. I think they have a game. So
it'd
be interesting to see how those two expansion sides, you know, handle it.
If you can see through all the smoke outside, because I think it was awful. I mean, it's still not great. I think outside. Let me look. It cleared up a little bit, but this weekend was so smoky outside, and here it was even worse up in Seattle. So hopefully the breathing quality is a little bit better.
Yeah.
So people don't pass out watching a soccer game or playing a soccer game for that matter.
Yeah, and I won't be heading up. This is my second Seattle away that I'm missing since moving back to the area. But it'll be fun to watch. You never really know with these two teams. Seattle's been looking terrible, but Portland, the last two games, like in my brain, this is how I've been explaining it to people, is on FIFA, you know how there's ultra defensive and ultra attacking?
Yes.
Portland is that. They just have those two functions in the last
two
games.
They never leave it in the middle.
They don't have balanced play. Right.
Caleb's over there with the D-pad, just going like, "Oh, all the way left. No, all the way right. Okay. Wait, I can't switch it. I don't have the ball right now. Come on."
So it's either sit there and not do anything and wait for a set piece and stoppage time, or commit men forward and get opened up in the back. And I mean, that's really their two settings. There's no balanced play in Portland, and it's just so difficult to watch sometimes. So depending on how which team shows up on Sunday, and who's gonna play for Seattle, right?
That's the other thing, it depends on who shows up with Seattle. Because it's not only so when Seattle kind of had their coming back moment against Orlando, when Oba was back and they played great, so everyone's like, alright, they're finally back. And then they played RSL, lost 2-0, even with some of their newer players. I mean, I don't know if Dumpsy's back yet, or if he's still out a little bit. Frankly, Oba is a scary enough player in his own right, and the new four that they got up top, whose name I don't remember, he, you know, he scored in his debut game. He looks like a solid attacker, and we have to face that without Diego Chara. So that's actually, yeah.
Well, which
so
makes it, which makes me not want to see players like Villafania and Powell go forward, because if they're going forward and you don't have Chara on the field,
like, well, it depends, because that, you know,
I mean, I'm just saying, like, Ridgewell, Borchers, those two, they're great defensive players, but when you commit those two backs all the way up there and you don't have your sweeper dudes, right? That's an official term, sweeper dudes. If you don't have them hanging out, like, Seattle can take advantage of that. Seattle, especially if Oba's on the field, he'll just destroy that.
That's Chuckle's Snapchat name, Sweeper Dude 86.
Sweeper Dude 86.
No, I think it depends, though. It depends on who slots into Chara. So, I mean, you have to assume it's going to be Jack, right? Because Jack's been doing a great job filling in.
And he's a great defensive player.
Really is. Yeah. So if you're gonna stay, but he doesn't have the speed to cover all that ground the way that Chara does.
Exactly.
So you're gonna have to.
So he's
back.
Not. Well, he's not. You're not gonna have that addition to the offensive attack like Chara would have. Yeah. Jack would have to stay back.
Yeah, which means you don't want to commit the outside backs as far forward. If you bring someone in like Foshibe, who has the speed to cover a little bit more ground, maybe you can go a little bit more attacking on the outside, but that's more attacking overall. I don't see it happening. Frankly, I don't know if I want it to happen. I'd rather see Jack, but that means it's going to be more defensive, and you're going to have to go forward a little bit more selectively on the outside, maybe try to work it through the middle. I wonder who starts up top, if it's going to be Milano or Adi.
I hope Milano, but
I
hope
so. Or I want to see Milano instead of Wallace, frankly. Yeah. And I want to see from the beginning Milano and Adi, or Urruti, because I feel like we don't see him enough.
I would really love to see Milano and Urruti. I mean, that would be, you know, have Milano out to the side a bit, and then have Urruti in the center forward role. I think that would be great. But what do I know? I know nothing about soccer.
Exactly. We're just on a fake podcast that a lot of people listen to.
We're just two dudes talking about soccer.
All that is to say, thank you for those who have listened. Next time, maybe be a little bit better about sending in questions, because we gave you a full day notice.
Yeah, and I forgot to ask again. I'm sorry.
But I mean, you know what? Just send us questions like all week. Don't necessarily wait for like our call. Just be like, you know what? Like, and they can be random questions, like all the questions. So I don't think we've gotten one soccer related question.
We haven't. But here's one. Well, it's not one, but I will say that the headline game of this week, the one that I'm excited about, aside from San Jose and LA, is the one on Sunday night. Red Bulls versus DC United. I think that will be a good national broadcast MLS game.
One of the older rivalries in the league.
Yeah.
This goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the actual top of the East versus the perceived favorite at the end of the year. If DC United is going to be able to stick it out with kind of them just, you know, trudging along and doing what they need to in an unflashy way, or if Bradley Wright Phillips and some of the, you know, or Sean Wright Phillips for that matter, the brothers Wright Phillips, if they can be a little bit more flashy and take it, that is going to be a good game. And now I'm trying to consider. I don't think I'll be able to watch it. What time is that?
Four, I think.
Four, and the Thorns game next Sunday. So, which is why I'm not traveling up to Seattle. I was considering doing the Seattle away, but then I remembered last home Thorns game of the season. Not going to miss that. So, we'll see, though. I'll be trying to follow along with it. Maybe I'll try to catch the replay after the fact. Because the Thorns game, I think, is 5. Let's pull this up and find out. No, 6:30, actually. Okay, fine. We can totally watch both. Even better. So I can get nothing done next Sunday, which is great, because so we have then we have, yeah, there's a nice slap right in between that, between getting down to Providence Park. This is great. I'm getting nothing done.
Welcome to being an American soccer fan.
It's fabulous. I can actually pay attention to doing nothing. It's great.
Yeah. But now we're heading into that that time of the year where when you go to a bar, you have to compete with some NFL game in the middle of the Midwest versus a local soccer team. So
or
any soccer team, to be honest.
I don't even know when playoffs are happening. Is that soon for baseball? Basketball is going to start. Yeah, it's.
You got one more month before Major League Baseball playoffs start.
I don't even actually have a solid idea about when these other sports start. Or playoffs start. Or I like the Blazers as an idea. I like watching them when they're on because I like Portland. I don't know when the season starts.
Yeah,
it's not right now, is it? No, I don't even know. I don't even know.
I just know that the scheduling for all those leagues, it just makes it really hard to follow because they have midweek games and there's no consistent. Soccer is getting that way, in terms of games being on weird nights. But
yeah.
It's always Saturday, Saturday
right.
and Sunday is soccer. But now the Premier League's Monday, Tuesday,
Friday.
And they're picking that up from us, I think.
I heard the other day, actually, interesting enough, that they're stealing the Friday game specifically to steal viewership away from the Bundesliga, which is traditionally done Friday.
Good news.
They're trying to get that kind of part of the market. I think that was Men and Blazers. They're talking about that. But anyway, but we are an American soccer podcast.
Yeah.
And go America. On that, I don't know if we got anything else to talk about. D's nuts for president.
brown chicken, brown cow. Hey, do you want to know the answer to my riddle?
Oh, I do. I don't. I have not even been thinking about it.
Well, clearly, we've been talking about soccer for the last hour. So the answer to the riddle: how many? Okay, so there are 30 cows in a field, and 28 chickens. How many didn't?
Two? I don't know.
What's the answer? 10.
10? It's just going to click in a minute. I'm going to feel like an idiot. I just... I don't even know, dude.
So there were 30 cows.
Yes.
And 28 chicken.
Oh, son of a...
Which 30 minus 20 is 10.
And 28 chickens.
Got you, sucker.
Got you! Got
you! Oh, and if you listened all the way through to the end for the magic riddle reveal, you won. You won. Actually, I'm not even going to apologize anymore because you won, because this is what you want. This is what we deliver, and we have.
All right.
On that note, thank you from $2 Domestics, Episode 8, Philip and Chuckles, and we'll see you next week.